welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual. Hey, welcome to the Shame Free Zone. This is your host, Veronica Monet, and I have a very special guest tonight. His name is Reid Mihalko. He's been on our show before, and he developed the very popular Cuddle Party. But tonight we're going to take a little departure and talk about something else. He is actually rather renowned in the world of the media. I've got curriculum vitae here that I'm looking at. He's been on Showtime's Penn and Teller's Bullshit. Isn't it great? This is adult. We can actually say that. He's been on Montel Williams, Fox News, VH1's Scott Baio is 45 and single. He's been on Canada's The Sex Files and Sex TV. I've been on that show, too. He's also on Fox News and Montel. We've been on a lot of the same shows. Life and Style, NPR, Sirius with Maxim Radio, Cosmo Radio, Marie Claire, GQ, People, Newsweek, National Enquirer. Welcome to the show, Reid.
Thanks. Well, I'm sitting there going, wow, I have been on all those shows.
Yeah, I have.
I get around, I guess.
I'm thinking. It says that you've been in media across the globe in 13 countries and at least 7 languages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was speaking English the whole time. I wasn't speaking other languages, so please don't think I'm some amazing linguistics as well.
It's kind of odd, isn't it? When I've seen myself on German TV and somebody does the dubs, and you're like, I didn't know I could talk like that. So tell me something. Why does everybody want to interview you?
Well, I mean, a lot of that media and press coverage, or at least it started with Cuddle Party, which was the workshop that pretty much launched my sex and relationship educator career. And for those of your listeners who weren't on the first time that I was on your show, and thanks again for having me on again, Cuddle Party is a communication workshop around boundary setting and how to create more social touch and affection in your life. And that just became a media storm because the original story was New Yorkers were paying money to cuddle, and everybody on the planet wanted to cover that story, and it was a great opportunity for myself and Marcia Baczynski, who was my co-creator and partner in Cuddle Party Crime, to talk about why is it that adults don't get more touch in their lives and why are we so afraid. And as a sex and relationship educator, it was the perfect opportunity for me to talk about communication skill sets around how do you create more intimacy. And those skill sets are exactly the same, whether it's social affection, non-sexual touch, as well as the skill sets that you use in the bedroom for hot and steamy, juicy sex. It's the same communication stuff. And so it's been really great for me as a sex and relationship educator to jump off of Cuddle Party and continue to talk about those tools and skill sets. And you know, a lot of the media most recently for me has been coming from people wanting to talk about polyamory and a lot of the sex education workshop stuff that I'm doing now that Cuddle Party has kind of grown up and can now operate on its own. And I get to do some edgier stuff. And then what you and I were talking about, which is why you invited me on the show, which is some of the stuff that I'm doing in Hollywood now around creating television shows and films and things like that to get people to start talking about sex and relationships differently.
Okay, so it sounds like the short version of this is that you started off kind of this sensation of the cuddle parties, which a lot of people probably never even entertain the idea. Why would you want to just cuddle? A lot of people can't even get that going in the privacy of their own homes, and here you're having parties with, you know, lots and lots of people in attendance. But then it kind of morphed into more developed conversations around polyamory.
I'm very intentional around how I'm managing my career, and I just have a knack for working with the media, because my background before I was in sex education was I was an actor and a writer for film and television. So when Cuddle Party hit and the media came, you know, knocking, I knew exactly what to do because I had produced short film and had worked in soap opera and on other television and film productions before. So now what I've been doing is taking the next, my next project is to get the media and the public to recognize that I'm not just the Cuddle Party guy. And the other thing, myself being polyamorous, polyamory ended up being a really smart choice as a venue to start getting people to talk about sex and relationships in a new way. And it's a great platform for me to talk about the skill sets that are needed to create any relationship that's healthy. Because from my perspective, when I work with my clients or when I'm creating workshops, the communication skill sets and perspectives that are needed to make three relationships run really well are the exact same skill sets that it takes to make one relationship work well. And so a lot of the coaching that I do, you know, my perspective is as somebody who happens to be in three relationships currently with really powerful people who are amazing and those relationships running really, really well. If I can have three relationships running well, there's a good chance I can help you, if you're monogamous, to make one relationship run really well.
You know what? I think that's brilliant. I was thinking about, I've been thinking about this for a couple of years now, that I would, it's kind of one of my wet dreams, the idea that people who are into the poly lifestyle and people who are into the BDSM lifestyle could actually teach workshops to people who are, you know, straight, monogamous, vanilla types, just on negotiating, communicating, asserting, and honoring boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and again, like, you know, not every person who's into BDSM should be teaching workshops. I mean,
no.
That's a specific skill set, too. But your observation that people who are into relationship styles or love styles that require a lot of nuanced boundary setting, self-awareness, and communication skills, those people, and for your audience members that are listening in, you know, if you have friends that are into BDSM or polyamory or, you know, any kind of other alternative relationship style, and they're really good at it and happy, and the people that they're in relationships with are happy, go to them for some relationship advice, because there's a really good chance that they've got some tips and tricks that they can share with you just as a friend. And consequently, if you're somebody who's into BDSM or polyamory and you have some friends who are monogamous who, you know, have really healthy self-expressed relationships, ask them for advice, because if they're doing something right, they might be able to help you as well. I mean, again, for me, as an educator, the skill sets that make a relationship run well work almost across the board, no matter what kind of relationship you're in, because those foundational tools are the same across the board.
And I'm, you know, sensitive to the fact that you are attempting not to stereotype any particular populations, but I just want to say that my own personal observation has been that people who are following the traditional relationship models are, as far if you're playing the numbers game, I'm less likely to meet people in the monogamous villa world who are, as you had said, you have a very intentional career.
Mm-hmm.
I am less likely to meet people who are in monogamous vanilla relationships that are having intentional, conscious relationships. It is more likely that they're kind of following tradition or following old models and just doing things because it's always been done this way. Whereas when I meet people who are in BDSM and poly, there is more of an attempt to navigate these waters, you know, like, well, how do we do this? Because our parents did not live like this.
And, yeah, exactly.
And it's not being modeled by the popular movies and the popular songs. And so maybe I would actually venture out of the privacy of my relationships and go take a workshop.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, if you want to find people who are really good drivers, race car drivers tend to be better drivers than just somebody who is driving along, you know, on the road on any given day. Mostly
right.
Because their needs have required them to become better at what they do. And that
exactly.
Definitely tracks what,
exactly.
What
and
you're
what
saying.
And one of the things about BDSM, too, and I, you know, not that it beat that to death, haha, pun intended, is just the idea that, you know, one false move and it can be a big, huge mistake. So
exactly.
There is
yeah.
a lot more focus on clearly communicating and establishing boundaries and expectations, which I find
mm-hmm.
quite delicious. I mean, it's like, you know, this. So anyway, it spills over in just day-to-day life, not just in the bedroom or in play, but just, you know, I find it so much easier to have a clear, concise communication with people who've spent time getting themselves trained in that.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree.
Yeah, and maybe the real point here is that we shouldn't just think that our relationships and our procreation and our marriage and all these things come naturally. There's kind of this assumption that, you know, you just, oh, well, you'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. And I think...
you know, I agree with you, and when I'm working with people and coaching them around relationship stuff, or even like when people go to my website, which for your listeners, if they're curious, if they want to, you know, hop on the web while they're listening to us now, is readaboutsex.com, R-E-I-D. aboutsex.com, and Cuddle Party's website is very simply cuddleparty.com. But when I'm working with clients and stuff, what I have found, and maybe you have found this as well, is it's not just, you know, that people fall into the what society is prescribing as tradition or what you should be doing, but there's also just not a lot of permission out there for people to explore and find what works for them. And it's really great with your show, you know, and just being on the show and being able to talk to people, that people have a place to go to consider other things. And it's not like you're saying, this is the way, follow me, I have, you know, come down from the mountain with the tablets and the answers. But just to give people permission to go out and look at different relationship styles and find what works for them, you know, that for me is a really big message when I talk to people. And the analogy that I use is it's kind of like, you know, if traditional monogamous relationships, if we think of that as like classical music and you're being taught music at the conservatory, you know, maybe really what's inside you is this jazz musician. But until somebody tells you that it's okay to go play some jazz or until you hear jazz being played, how do you know? I think a lot of people choose monogamy just because they don't know that there are other choices or that they just feel really shameful. So, you know, this is also my long-winded way of saying thank you for having the show that you have and doing the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Reed. And you know, it's a mutual admiration club. I'm in very, very much in awe of the things that you do as well. And can you mention the other website real quickly? Because I just put Cuddle Party up on Twitter, but
okay.
That first
it's
one was
about sex. It's readaboutsex.com. It's
R-E-I-D
aboutsex.com.
R-E-I-D aboutsex.com. Very, that's
mm-hmm.
great. I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, maybe a little bit early to jump into this, but I'm just kind of biting at the bit on this. I know that there's rumors you might be getting your own reality TV show.
yeah. So for your listeners out there, they're like, oh my God, don't talk about it because you might jinx it. I don't really believe in that.
Okay.
You know, I've worked in and around Hollywood for a long time. I have several friends that are very well known in Hollywood, and so I kind of know that either a project's jinxed from the get-go or it's not jinxed. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. And I try to model clear communication, and, you know, just like my relationships, I'm trying to model that in Hollywood. We'll see how that goes. But right now I'm just beginning negotiations for a reality show about polyamory, and I won't mention any of the people involved. Yeah,
No. Don't tell us what cable. I'm sure it's on cable. But
yeah, it's basically, you know, I've been a few years ago. Not even a few years ago, but about 10 years ago, I wrote a script for a comedy slash drama, like what would be called a dramedy series, a scripted series called Polly and Marie. Which was a show about two people in a polyamorous relationship who happened to live in a neighborhood where all of their neighbors were in different types of alternative relationships.
And I put that up on Twitter, too, for people who are listening right now. Let's give them that URL again.
Sure. And that URL, they can go to Polly, it's P-O-L-L-Y, and Marie, M-A-R-I-E.com. And they can, if they want to see the trailer, because the website is just really just a one page, it's Polly and Marie / and then it's the word general.
General, that's what it was. I couldn't remember if general or guess.
And I think it's with a capital G for some weird reason, but they can see the trailer for the pilot and to fast forward the story about 5 years ago.
And by the way, can I just interrupt to tell you that the actors are all very yummy. And this is excellent acting, by the way. Like, these people, I've never heard of any of them, but they're really talented. And so, I mean, I'm just really surprised it's not on the air yet.
So basically what ended up happening was a producer found the script through a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Shot the whole pilot, paid quite a bit of money to shoot the whole pilot. The producer's name is James Ward. He's awesome. And we ended up meeting with Randy Jackson from American Idol fame.
Wow.
And Randy Jackson and I and James Ward ended up pitching the show to HBO. And HBO almost bought it. So it was like a near miss. But that got me into the mix in Hollywood with people starting to see me not just as the cuddle party guy, but as somebody who could possibly, you know, create something of value from an entertainment perspective. And my approach as a sex educator was trying to create a show or shows that would get people to start talking about sex, and even more importantly, have characters on the show that were role modeling integrity and impeccability in their relationships, even though it was a comedy, because relationships by their very nature, just the learning curve that we all go through makes relationships funny. And so rather than creating a show that was about lying and cheating, to have a show be more about just the day-to-day comedy of trying to make alternative relationships work. And
now,
so
let me ask you, can I ask you something, Reed?
Well. Yeah, please.
Did you pitch HBO before or after Big Love?
This was after Big Love, which is a Showtime show.
You know what? My apologies. Yeah, okay. I get confused. I thought it was an HBO show, but you're right. It is a Showtime show.
Mm-hmm.
But, I would have thought they would have thought that was good competition for that subject matter, but anyway.
Yeah. And then, for those of your listeners who haven't seen Big Love, certainly Big Love is about non-monogamy and polyamory in a very specific way, because it's about polygamy. But HBO was interested in Polly and Marie because Big Love was having some success, and I was talking with HBO about this at the same time that CBS had just greenlit Swingtown, which was on briefly. which was a primetime show about swinging back in the 70s. So, I mean, the conditions were right. However, HBO passed on it. And to fast forward yet again, now I'm in talks with for a reality show that I created about polyamory, which would be its focus is more about myself being one of the hosts and the mentors on the show, helping
Do you teach people things like advanced concepts? Are you going to teach them advanced concepts like compersion?
Yeah, well, we're totally going to do it. And basically what the show is going to be about design, the initial design of the show was to use polyamory in two ways. One, to role model for people that you don't have to lie and cheat in a relationship if you want to explore territory that lies outside of the bounds of monogamy.
Because the bottom line is that at least 50% of married people are in fact having affairs and not talking about them. So this whole idea that people are being monogamous is a little bit of a myth. And certainly opening people up to be honest about their lives, would be a step in the right direction, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and really what I'm doing is I'm less concerned about teaching people about polyamory and recruiting people for polyamory, and more about role modeling that being honest, no matter what you're trying to be honest about, is actually what you should be shooting for. Because I also believe that a lot of couples who are cheating, if they were more forthright with each other and communicating more about what their needs and wants are, can probably get those needs and wants met in ways that serve their monogamy and wouldn't necessarily have to go outside of the relationship. Not for everybody, certainly. But, you know, the odds are, I think personally, that most people are probably monogamous in the way of how they want to run their relationships.
Uh-huh.
And they step outside of the relationships and cheat because they're not getting their needs met. And one of the reasons they're not getting their needs met is they don't have tools to talk about what their needs are and how to get them met in the relationship. So I'm hoping that you know, polyamory will be scandalous enough to get people to tune in so that we can give them some really good skill sets, give them some different perspectives on how to communicate in the relationships, and help people across the board no matter what their relationship self-expression happens to be.
Well, you're really about us. You know what? I'm subversive in that same vein. I come up with book concepts that usually appeal to people's prurient interest, but, you know, my whole objective is to try to get people to do self-improvement, which, you know, most people don't want to actually sign up for. They're like, we want to be titillated. And I'm like, okay, I'll titillate you, but I'm hoping to actually improve your life.
Well, and I think that's just being smart in a marketing sort of way. And that, you know, really with people and our day-to-day lives, if you have a job or two jobs and you have a child or three or four kids and a mortgage payment in this economy, like, you're going to need something titillating to get your attention because there's a whole lot of other stuff that you're worried about. And if you can create an idea that captures people's imaginations enough that they can sit down, you know, read whatever it is you're doing or watch whatever it is you created, and then you're, you know, subversively you've given them better tools for their relationships, they get to bring those relationships home, improve them with those skill sets, and then, you know, make their lives a little bit easier in a time where it's already difficult to just be a human being. I think it's good
stuff. Absolutely. It is. So, really, your focus isn't going to be on poly with this reality show, but rather on honest communication for couples.
Yeah, and we'll be using poly as the marketing tool just the way to get people's foot in the door, really.
You know what? Go ahead.
No, I'm just because basically, you know, I sound like a broken record sometimes, but it's really like the tools that make relationships work are very similar across the board with relationships. Styles and self-expressions and hobbies, you know, and I can't reiterate that enough. And you know, if we can create a show about polyamory or somebody else creates a show about BDSM,
uh-huh.
and that helps, you know, the married couple in Wichita have, you know, more romance in their life, then I think as people working in the media and in entertainment, we've done a good job.
No, I absolutely, you know, it's the same thing when I travel around doing workshops, teaching people about what I learned as an escort. I'm not interested in teaching them how to be an escort. I'm interested
mm-hmm.
in teaching them what I learned that they can apply to their own monogamous marriages, because, you know, most of the people I talk to are married and most of them are monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
And it is valuable information. And that's a broader message that we need to grasp as human beings, that we, as human beings, we have so much more in common. And when we allow silly things like language, you know, religion, or how you have sex to prejudice us so that we think we can't learn from other people, and it's our loss.
Mm-hmm.
We lose a lot of information that way.
Yeah. No, that's a very wise statement.
Now, we should probably backtrack, because we mentioned this term compersion.
Mm-hmm.
mentioned the term. But did you want to quickly define that for our listeners? And I'll actually put it up
sure.
here on Twitter so that they're not
sure.
left there hanging. What the heck are they talking about?
Yeah, I would say that the quick, easy, down and dirty definition is that compersion is the opposite of jealousy. And you know, jealousy being, jealousy being kind of a complex issue. Because it, you know, my personal take on it is that, you know, jealousy is kind of like an octopus. It's actually, you know, it's about 8 or 12 or 10 different emotions all wrapped up into one. But the compersion is whenever you feel joy or love or this expansive kind of, you know, heartfelt, warmth for when your lover is experiencing joy with another human being. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that they have to be experiencing it sexually.
Right.
It can be that you feel good when somebody that you care about is having a deep, intimate moment with another human being, versus what jealousy is, you know, I'm feeling tight and constricted and a whole flood of emotions, usually negative, around my partner doing or being with somebody else in any kind of fashion.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, you probably already know about this, but I do want to mention for the listeners that, you know, the whole idea of improving our relationships is a broader concept than just improving our relationships. You know, it spreads out into the conditions that we have on this planet in general. So, for instance, they did a study down in Mexico. These two communities are right next to each other, not even hardly separated by a mountain range. They're like separated by a little valley. And there's the Zapatos and the La Paz. And one community is very, very jealous, very, very possessive. Particularly the men are very jealous and possessive and controlling of their women. And then the other community, they're not poly by any stretch of the imagination. They're very monogamous. They believe in marriage. But the only difference is that the men are not, they don't become, you know, full of rage and jealousy if their wife talks to another man.
Mm.
And that one little adjustment has a huge, profound effect on the rate of violence in the community.
Mm.
So, you know, when we're talking about things like taking joy, you know, in our lovers or our special persons, their joy, and not being jealous and controlling about them talking to other people, you know, we might actually be talking about something that contributes to, ultimately, world peace. You know, we're actually building a more peaceful planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very interesting to look at how, you know, any kind of communication tools or emotional tools that help you have a more self-expressed and a more expansive, you know, less constrictive relationship, how that applies to the rest of your life. I mean, I've worked with clients who, you know, in working on their relationship with their spouse, all of a sudden their relationship with their kids becomes better, their relationship with their parents become better, their relationships with their bosses and their coworkers at work, because they're just becoming better communicators, period. They're giving themselves more permission and freedom to feel what they feel and to speak up for it. And imagine what kind of ripple effect that would have on a culture. That's kind of amazing. And not to get like too woo-woo and like, we're going to change the world by learning how to ask for what we need. But that's kind of what it boils down to, is this, you know, this idea of, you know, if we can stop fighting in our relationships and really talking, does that translate to, as nations, that we'll stop fighting and start talking? Like, how does that, you know, how do we pull more love into our life? And you know, is our one-on-one romantic relationships, is that just a microcosm for the larger picture of a whole world?
Yeah.
You know, that's exciting stuff to talk about.
I think it is. I think it's hugely exciting. But I've actually tried to have that conversation in front of live audiences, and I haven't really found a way to make it tangible for people. So their eyes glaze over.
I think what you'd have to do is you have to get Al Gore to talk about, like, global warming of the heart or something like that.
Yeah,
for it to really
there
work.
You go.
But, yeah. I mean, what's his fee to come talk? I mean, he can't afford it right now.
I was trying to think, should I use the words organic and holistic? Will that help people?
Well, that's an interesting conversation too, like, because you work in the media, and you also work with people one-on-one, and the same thing as you know, what I do in similar ways, this interesting idea of, like, how do we use language, you know, buzzwords, and how do you language things in a way so that it lands on Ma and Pa Kettle and also lands on, you know, the people that are the cultural creatives who are putting the, you know, the message out there and getting it heard. You know, and language is a really, really powerful tool. And then you and I have the disadvantage of living in a culture where, you know, English is, especially American English, is a very young language, and we have Puritan roots. So it's like, you know, because our culture, one of our gross national products is the entertainment industry, and a lot of other countries watch our television shows, whether it's on the black market or they're actually broadcast on their networks. You know, we have this interesting position of everyone's watching us, and at the same time, it's like our hands are tied when it comes to talking about sex and love and intimacy.
It irks me to no end that I can just travel around the dial, and it's just violence, 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 violence. And then if I do happen to find a sex scene, that usually leads to violence too, because the sexual people always have to die.
Well, you know what's really funny, and I don't want to get on my little soapbox, but I know I can get on my soapbox with you, and you'll appreciate it. So I didn't see the last James Bond movie, you know, the one, I think it was named Quantum Solace, which I'm not sure what that phrase even means, but the one before that, which had the new hot James Bond, and I forget the name of it, but do you remember, it was rated PG-13, and they had that torture scene where James Bond, they stripped him down, and they cut out the bottom of the chair, and they tied him to the chair, and they were basically whacking his scrotum with a big piece of rope.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that torture scene?
Yes, I do.
So there's all that violence, and this is rated PG-13, and yet I think he only kissed the love interest in the movie twice.
Right.
Like, we didn't get to see any boobs.
No.
Like, there was no breast. And yet, we can watch James Bond get whacked in the nuts with a big piece of rope, and that's okay for children 13 and over.
Exactly. It's okay for our children to watch torture, but it's not okay for them to watch lovemaking.
Exactly. And I really should see the next James Bond movie just so I can be more up to date. But, like, that movie, when I walked out of the theater, and I'm a huge James Bond fan, I I was furious because I'm like, listen, like, you know, if we can show, you know, a guy getting whacked in the net, can at least show people kissing with romantic intent. I mean, come on, has it really gotten that bad?
But,
and that worries me.
Well, it worries me too because, well, and I'm sure, you know, I don't want to get on my soapbox because it always leads back to the chimpanzees and the bonobos. And, you know, one of them is being violent and the other one's having sex. And I'm like, you know, I was just talking to some students at Sonoma State University and I was going, I don't understand why we're so afraid of sex that we'd rather take the chance that we're never going to be able to solve our problems with war and violence and murder. It's like, okay, well, you know, we're looking for solutions to these problems of worldwide violence, but if you tell us that it might involve sex, we're out of here. It's like, no, thank you very much. We don't even want to entertain the thought.
Yeah.
And I think that's really unfortunate. It's like we've got our nearest, you know, living relative on planet Earth has seems to have found a way not to be violent. And, it, mm-hmm. you know, it is directly tied, and it's not so much about the sex, I think, as it's the absence of jealousy.
Yeah.
You know, we're back to this thing about not being jealous, not being possessive, not trying to control through violence.
Well, you know, and I would even say maybe, you know, maybe the absence of jealousy is maybe just a little bit too, you know, we overshot the target. If mm-hmm. we could just teach people tools for dealing with their jealousy.
Right.
In a way that brings them closer together and not further apart. I think that would be a huge shift in our culture and ripple through.
Point well taken. And I, you know, we are wired for all kinds of emotions, and some of them are more constructive than others. And we just, learning how to, like you say, how to deal with our emotions so that we don't, you know, just get carte blanche. And right now, the current culture is basically, if you're jealous, you love me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, in some of the jealousy workshops, I teach jealousy is actually a very useful emotion because it can tell you when something's out of alignment. You know, it's kind of like when you're driving a car down the highway and you hear a thump or, you know, a thump, 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 or some weird noise that you've never heard before.
Right.
Like, that can be really useful. If you're in a relationship and you're feeling jealousy, you know, there's a way to use that constructively. And I think a lot of people end up trying to avoid jealousy altogether.
Oh, I like this. So I'm going to Twitter this. I'm sorry. I'm totally into the Twitter thing. Constructive use of jealousy, dot, dot. How do you finish that sentence?
I would say that usually the easy, quick, you know, like I'm going to look under the hood just for a second and tell you what I think the problem is. I would say that jealousy is usually pointing to an unmet need in your relationship or something that you haven't expressed. It's usually a need. It's usually pointing to something that you need or are deficient in.
Very good. I love it. It's no wonder you're the teacher on these topics. I mean, this is very good. Constructive use of jealousy. I've hung around a lot of poly community. It's kind of, that becomes like this taboo word, like, oh, you're jealous. You know, you need to work on that. go take a Human Awareness Institute class or a Landmark class and get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I like your neutral stance that it's all emotions are healthy. We need to learn how to use them, and sometimes they're signposts.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, you know, you had used the word holistic. You know, let's play to our strengths. Let's see what, you know, what gets brought up in a situation, and let's not label it wrong, but let's label it as, you know, let's come from the perspective of this is more information than I had 5 minutes ago, and let's rather than freak out, let's take a look at it. And, you know, for your listeners, if they go to my website, if they go to readaboutsex.com, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be offering a whole workshop on jealousy, a teleclass. And if they look on the right-hand side of my website, they'll see a link to a page that says Battling the Eight-Armed Octopus of Jealousy teleclass series. And if they're interested, they can take a peek at that. And I'll be spending 6 weeks diving really, really deeply into jealousy and what I happen to believe and a couple of my friends and partners believe, what makes jealousy tick, and give people really practical tools for figuring out what your triggers are around jealousy and how to communicate those in your relationships, and also how to better use jealousy as a tool for self-exploration rather than this anathema that you just have to avoid all the time.
And for our listeners, I've been Twittering this information throughout the program, but just to announce it on the air, if you are listening and you're not near a computer and you can't go to twitter.com/Veronica Monet to get my updates, feel free to call us in right now. You can ask Reed yourself, or you can just ask him, what can I do about the jealousy in my relationship, or what can I do about a jealous partner? I'm sure he'll have some very enlightening answers for you. Our toll-free number is 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Or if you're local and you want to call 415, it's 415-287-3601. That's 415-287-3601. You can also Skype at BBS Radio. Or get over to Twitter and Twitter me at Veronica Monet. Okay. So, and while we wait to see if anybody calls in, what's the workshop that you were just talking about? You said it's a 6 week workshop. Is this on location or is it on teleconference?
It's going to be a teleclass. It's going to be a teleclass, right? And I so people will be able to sign up and then call in. And what we're going to be doing is and actually I misspoke. It's a 4 week teleclass.
4 weeks.
Okay. Long. And people will be able to call in. The calls will be recorded, so if you miss a call, you'll be able to download the call and listen to it later. I'll be giving out homework assignments and, you know, assigning people, you know, support, jealousy support buddies from the class if that works for them. It's going to be a really, really fun workshop and a really deep workshop.
And when does that start?
When does it start?
Yeah, when does it start?
Good Lord, I have so many things going on. I have to jump to my website to find out. It's going to start on June 23rd.
Okay.
The dates are going to be June 23rd, June 30th, July 7th, and July 21st.
All right. So they got a little time to think about it, but I imagine they better hop on it before all your places are filled, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be, you know, and with me and you know, a lot of what I do is I'm basically like, hey, you know, if do the workshop. If it didn't work for you, I'll give you a full money back, you know, refund. You know, I just think I really believe in extraordinary customer service and giving people what they're looking for. And I think, you know, if you end up taking a workshop or product of mine and it doesn't work for you, just let me know because, you know, financial times are hard and I have no problem giving people their money back. I just think it's good business. And I know
you're the real deal. I mean, you're very authentic. You're very genuine. You've got amazing integrity. And no offense to Hollywood, but you know, how did you survive?
You know what it is. I mean, think of it this way. Like, you know, the relationship with Hollywood, like, you know, and it is. It's show business. It's a business,
mm-hmm.
Right? But at the same time, it's a relationship. So in this really geeky, you know, because I'm a relationship geek, I feel kind of called to the challenge. Like, is it possible to have integrity, to be transparent in an industry that's all about smoke and mirrors? Like, that's interesting to me. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be successful.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm going to be able to I'm not even trying to transform Hollywood. Right, I'm not saying that even anything's wrong with Hollywood.
You've been all over TV, so I would imagine, you know, whatever. You don't have any illusions about, you know, how one-sided those relationships can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
it's like,
but look at how how powerful a medium television is. You know, I mean, you and I have been around for a while, and remember what Sex and the City did for our country. It got especially talking about sex, maybe not in the most empowering way, but it got people talking about sex in a way that it hadn't been in quite a while.
Well, see, television, like music, can change your brainwave patterns. And it's not, you know, it's not like alpha, you know, REM, like deep sleep. But it's some of the precursors. And you change your brainwave pattern. I think you actually kind of get into the subconscious. And in some ways, I feel like these television shows, especially people become fans of certain shows and they even like to go into chat rooms and talk about it with other fans. I've kind of thought that in some ways it's like everybody's having the same dream.
Yeah. You know what? That's actually a really great analogy. It is a lot like that. I mean, think of it this way. I'll tell this short story for you and your listeners. This is maybe 10 or 12 years ago. My girlfriend at the time, wonderful woman, she just happened to be black. And she and I went to a wedding in Rifle, Colorado.
That must have been. What year was this?
This was 12 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right? Yeah, so, but this is the thing, like, Rifle, Colorado, the main vocation in Rifle, Colorado is hunting, like being a hunting guide.
Right.
Or being, you know, somebody who sells ammo. Like, that whole town, and it's a beautiful town. If you ever get a chance to go to Rifle, Colorado, don't blink because you'll drive right through it. But, so here's a small town whose main product is hunting. And, you know, we're there for a wedding. I bring my black girlfriend.
Right.
And it's Friday night. The wedding's on a Saturday. And we walk into the hopping bar in town. There's three bars in town. Two of them are legal, and one of them is a speakeasy.
I'm going to guess that everybody stopped talking when you guys walked in.
This was what was really interesting. Like, I was prepared for the worst.
Oh.
But I walked in, and there was country music playing on the jukebox. You know, a lot of guys with their Friday night, you know, cowboy hat on, or their best, you know, trucker baseball cap on. We walked in just as a country song was ending, and a hip-hop song began on the jukebox. No one gave us a second glance. And
wow.
She was the only black person in the bar.
Wow.
And this kind of talks about your whole idea about music being like this dream that people are sharing.
Oh.
It was because of the proliferation of MTV and hip-hop music that she and I being in an interracial relationship in Rifle,
yes.
Colorado wasn't
yes.
that big of a deal.
Right. I get it. You know, because
now,
the world
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that I would have wanted to have stayed at the bar till last call. You know?
Yeah.
But I was mightily moved and impressed at the fact that it was kind of a non-issue. And it
yeah.
was me. I was the one who was thinking backwards.
Right, right.
So,
because,
you know, this idea of music and media, you know, it's cliche to say that it's powerful, but I really think, you know, for those of us who are trying to affect a positive change on the planet, whatever that change is, if you can use music, if you can use television, if you can use film, and certainly books haven't gone the way of, you know, they haven't become completely obsolete yet.
Thank God.
You know, these are really, really powerful ways to touch people's lives. And I'm going to get off my soapbox and shut up for a little while now.
Well, I wouldn't shut up just yet. I mean, I brought you on the show to talk, Reed. But and you know what? What's wrong with having some positive outlook on the future and trying to create things besides the bottom line and a paycheck? I think it's important, and so I'm glad we're talking about these things. You were in the National Enquirer?
Mm-hmm.
The National
Enquirer?
Huh?
Cuddle Party made the National Enquirer, which was a very proud moment for me.
Yeah, I was on hard copy. Isn't it great? No, seriously, what was it like? Did they get anything right?
Oh, yeah, they were fine. They were fine. I mean, for me, my personal take is any kind of media, even negative publicity, is really about just letting people know that you exist and getting them to go to your website.
I do a lot of coaching. Yeah.
I do a lot of coaching for people who teach for a living, you know, who are workshop leaders or whatnot. And some of, you know, the people I teach get scared about, you know, what happens if I get negative publicity. And, you know, my belief is if your website is strong and positive, and, you know, really tells your story with integrity, you know, who cares if somebody writes, you know, a scathing review of your product? It's just going to let more people know to check out your website. And then, you know, if 10 people check it out and 3 people fall in love with it, you're ahead of the game.
Nope, I agree. Because, you know, it's the old cliche, but there is no such thing as bad publicity. And speaking of which, let me give you, we're down to about our last 3 minutes here, so I want to make sure you get plenty of chance to publicize. You know, we should probably mention your websites again, any contact information you want to give our listeners. Before you do that, though, why do they want to contact you? The teleseminar? Tell us again what that's going to teach them.
Yeah, if anybody who's interested in improving their relationships, period, if you're interested in creating more intimacy, better communication skills, go to my website, which is readaboutsex.com. If you're interested in working on jealousy specifically, or if you have a friend who suffers from, you know, jealous fits of rage, or, you know, just being debilitated by that emotion, jealousy, starting June, in the late June, I'm going to be offering a 4-week teleclass, so you can take this class anywhere that you are, in the comfort of your own home, called Battling the 8-Armed Octopus of Jealousy. And they can go to my website, readaboutsex.com, and look on the right-hand side, and you'll see links to new stuff that I have happening. And I have a whole bunch of free stuff on my website, too, that they can download and take a listen to. Around a whole range of different things. So check out my website. If you want to email me, it's read@readaboutsex.com. I'd love to hear from your listeners. And again, I just want to say thank you for doing what you're doing, because you're helping people figure out things about themselves that isn't a normal conversation in our culture right now.
It isn't a normal conversation, and thank you. Thank you for setting a lot of precedents. I know when I went to my first cuddle party, I was like, who invented this? This is just an awesome idea.
Thank you.
So I'm very much one of your fans, and can't wait to see what you do next. And I hope as soon as anything changes, we want to have you back on this show so you can tell us all about it. All right.
And have all your listeners cross their fingers for me while we go into negotiations for this reality television show. And hopefully I'll be creating some really fun and exciting stuff for you to tune into on television soon.
Oh, yeah. And reality TV shows, sometimes people get to participate in those or try out. That's a very exciting thing.
Exactly. Well, maybe we'll create like the American Idol of alternative relationships.
No, why not? All right, Reed, this hour just flew by, as it always does when I interview you, and I thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you so much for having me again, and everyone who listened in tonight, thank you so much for listening. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah. Ditto at this end. Okay.
Okay.
Good night. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Bye.